You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, third hour, Teke and Tierney, coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. A very artistic view tonight from the camera crew here. Look at that. Another beautiful shot.
Yeah, our CBS Sports Network TV folks are doing unbelievable jobs with these shots.
I mean, they've always been money, but they're really stepping up the game
this
here.
This is three solid ones in a row.
Man, and they keep getting better and better and better.
That looks amazing.
That's gorgeous.
That was the New York City I used to love when I lived here.
Yeah, no kidding. I hear you. We are inside of our studio, as we always are, Quicken Loans Studio, Teke, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Some of you still wanted to weigh in on the Dabble Sweeney stuff. We'll get to the calls, 855-212-4227. But now let's also insert this part of the equation into the conversation. Mm-hmm. Former five-star quarterback Justin Fields is... we'll use the word exploring a transfer from Georgia. This seems to be close to a done deal. Dan Wolkin from the USA Today broke this story. We'll have Dan coming up next segment, by the way, from the USA Today to find out exactly what he learned. And now there's rumblings. Looks like ESPN chimed in. Some other outlets are starting to say it looks like it's going to happen. He has not actually put in for his transfer paperwork yet.
Yep.
Looks like he's going to play in the bowl game here. And, although now the early speculation is that Ohio State appears to be the ultimate destination here for Justin Fields. But what's interesting about this here, Teke, is that he is not alone. There is a long list, and we can certainly document this, of former five-star quarterbacks who are just going to a school, quickly deciding it's not for them, and bouncing.
Yeah, this happened twice in the last 2 years for Georgia because of the whole Jacob Eason thing. Jacob Eason, who was the starter going into 2017, hurt his knee. As a true freshman, Jake Fromm had to take over, and we all know what happened. Jake Fromm led the team to the Final Four of college football playoff, and ultimately the championship game. And so coming in, Jacob Eason had left to go to Washington. He had to sit out a year in residence. He will be likely replace Jake Browning when Browning leaves at Washington there, but it made an opening in Georgia. And so Justin Fields commits, who was the number one dual-purpose quarterback coming into this season, and the number two overall quarterback in this recruiting class behind Kelly Bryant, who is obviously at Clemson. And so I get why Justin Fields feels like he has to leave Georgia, because Jake Fromm's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Lead a team to the national championship game and lead a team to an SEC championship game in two subsequent years.
And a future pro, by the way.
And a future pro. He could leave after next year, or he could stay for a couple more years, at which point Justin Fields doesn't play for two more years. Mm-hmm. And that's untenable for a kid these days.
Yep.
It's somewhat troubling to me, BT, because you're right. There have been, of the 18 five-star quarterbacks since 2010, this is on CBSSports.com, 10 of them have transferred, 10 of them, including Kyler Murray and Shea Patterson, who are the ones that we talk about, or just recent Jacob Eason, who we were just talking about.
Yep.
10 of 18 have transferred to different schools. It's a lot, and it's troubling to me, BT, because it's almost like these kids are so impatient to be the man that they forget that the challenge of jumping the hurdles that's important for building character is it's necessary.
Yep.
Right? It's just like, let me go find an easier path towards stardom or the NFL or whatever it may be. And they're not willing to try to win a competition. And there's circumstances that with all of these, I'm sure, like Shea Patterson's was certainly a hardship because of the whole Ole Miss scandal. So I get it at some points, but at some points I'm disappointed by it.
Yeah, you know, usually this would disappoint me as well. Not to turn into Mr. Literal again, as I do on occasion here on the show, but you use the word easier. I would use the phrase a more direct path, because easier implies that they're not willing to put the work in. I believe they want to work. I believe they just want to play.
Yeah,
and you can do both. You can do that simultaneously.
But isn't there a meritocracy in sports that the best players should play?
You'd like to think so, but there's a lot of politics as well.
Of course.
You know what happens? And a lot of times, like, and I don't know, this doesn't apply to Justin necessarily, nor does it apply necessarily to some of the other names you referenced, whether it's Jay Patterson or somebody else. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like, if you'll have, kid comes in, he's a freshman, you'll have a sophomore, and the freshman's handlers or his dad or whomever will communicate to the coach, if he's not starting next year, my kid, he's bouncing. So the school will then communicate to the sophomore, you might want to find a new place because we don't want to lose this kid.
Yeah.
And it's not dirty in the sense, because I'm not saying this money's changing hands, but the shuffling of the decks and how kids are recruited with such vigor and with such earnest, right? And then told behind the scenes, you are no longer wanted or you're no longer good. And those conversations happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens because, you know, it just happens. And you're recruited over and it's a cruel world. And you got to bounce if you want to play.
I got it.
The school, my point was to get the school do it to you, which they always do.
Of course,
if they have a chance to get better, then why not exercise your right to get to a better situation to get snaps right away?
Yeah. No.
I hear you on transfer. Fundamentally, it feels like you're quitting, but you're actually just relocating to a more direct route to play.
Yes, but it just feels like it's happening more and more and more. I'll give you an example, BT. Yep. So we were, you know, I did the Iron Bowl. I was down in Alabama for Alabama Auburn.
Did bring me back a shirt.
We're talking to.
Which I asked you.
I know, right?
I
didn't even think of that.
I asked you.
We're on the field before the game, talking to some people we know that are associated with the Alabama program. We're just asking about players. Like, tell me the guys we got to look out for, and he's pointing out certain, you know, Quentin Williams is a stud. He's going to be the best player on the field today. You know, what about the backs? You know, this kid Josh Jacobs is, I mean, he's baller, and he actually had a really good game. He's like, yeah, Josh is good, and Damian Harris is the guy that splits carries. But we got to start getting carries to Najee Harris, who's the third stringer, because if we don't, he's going to transfer. And this is the battle that. Not a lot of the smaller programs, so this is like a big boy school problem, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big boy meaning competing for national championship.
Oh, it's a first world problem.
Exactly.
Pertaining to college football.
But they're having trouble keeping, like, all-star depth on their teams.
Yes.
Because these kids, they can't stand not playing. And I'm sure it's because they were promised that they were going to be able to, you know, get some burn. But when you get into the meat of the season and – you know, games really mean something. You're gonna go with the guy that knows how to win and has been there for a while.
And, who you trust?
And that promise falls to the wayside, and then you feel scorned. Mm-hmm. And I'm out of here. I'm going someplace else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening a lot more than I think we've ever seen it.
I agree. I don't have any data on this because we don't always know what kids are thinking. But I wonder how many recent decisions. I don't mean three stars, but you know, the high fours and obviously the fives where they have factored that into their decision. Like, they may have been predisposed early in the recruiting process. I'm going to Bama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Clemson. I'm going to Ohio State. I'm going to one of these top schools. But then as you get a little deeper into it, and now you see some evidence now piling up year upon year upon year upon year where guys are transferring, five-star kids are going to some of the schools I mentioned, not playing. Maybe they say, I'm going to circumvent all that nonsense, go to a different school, play right away.
Yeah. I mean, but then they lose the ability to play for the national championship.
True, but if you want to make some money, as much as everybody wants to win a national championship, you want to get paid.
You're right.
And not just paid $30,000 for your mom or your aunt or have a job, which happens all the time, millions upon millions for generations.
You're smoothing your path out to the National Football League.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to blame them. Now,
it's business. I mean, it really is business. It's their aspect of the business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like no compensation, but other than the scholarship transfer, but that's not really compensation.
Anything under the table stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it happens. I mean, you know what I mean? But it's not real. It is real money, but it's not real money in the context of money in college sports.
Yep.
And look, it's interesting what will happen in this situation in Georgia, because Fromm's not going anywhere.
No.
He's really, really good. I know there were some calls earlier on in the season with Georgia. When they were playing, not bad, but they weren't playing, you know, top of the line football there were calls for Justin Fields to get more time on the field. But Jake Fromm is a winner, and he's not going anywhere. Now, the argument, and it's, this is where it gets interesting, is that Justin Fields is arguing for a hardship. That's going to be his reasoning for so that he can play right away. That hardship comes from the racist incident that happened with a former Georgia baseball player, Adam Sasser, who was kicked out of school for saying some derogatory or I don't remember the exact statement. But he got the kid kicked out of school, and he fears for his safety. That's going to be his argument. I don't know how he's going to prove that.
Well, I'm not going to challenge that statement.
I'm not either. But I just don't know how he's going to prove that.
True.
He's in danger.
He might not have to. I mean,
I
believe the court of public opinion will side with him.
Oh, definitely.
And rightfully so.
Definitely. But is that enough to grant a transfer? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know where the NCAA stands on these things. But
that's a very nebulous case. No, that's
it. It's an odd one.
What should happen might not happen.
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. Otherwise, if he does decide to transfer, he's got to sit out a year in residence, and then he'll be able to play for the last couple of years of his high school, of his college eligibility.
Yeah. The other thing this proves here, Teak, is that just because you're a five-star recruit doesn't mean that the recruiting systems got it right.
No.
Because I'm looking at this list, and Tiki gave the numbers before. I want you to listen to this again. There of the 18 five-star quarterbacks that have been in play since 2010, 10 have transferred, all right? We mentioned Hunter Johnson, obviously. Mentioned Shea Patterson, obviously. Mentioned Jacob Eason, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, Kyler Murray's going to probably wind up playing baseball, but he left from A&M to Oklahoma, different case study.
Yep, and he sat.
Kyle Allen, A&M to Houston, mm-hmm. okay? 2013, Max Brown went from USC to Pitt. Gunnar Keel went from Notre Dame to Cincinnati. Jeff Driscoll, Florida La Tech, and Phillip Sims from Bama to Winston-Salem after a little pit stop at Tiki's alma mater, Virginia. The reason I run down these names is outside of Driscoll, and granted a few of these kids are still in college, none of these young men made it to the NFL.
Yeah, you're right.
So just because you're pegged as a five-star recruit out of high school doesn't mean that when you get to campus, you're all that.
Yeah, and
you're supposed, you are what you were supposed to be.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
And maybe you're not playing.
Because you're not as good.
Because you're not as good as the guy that's there.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I don't want to throw that on Justin.
I'm saying in totality. I'm not going to throw it on him either.
Because
I think
he's a really good player. I mean, I forget his stats on the season, but he threw for 350 or so yards and 4 touchdowns. He rushed for 4 other touchdowns. He's a really good player in mop-up duty or bit duty, change of pace duty at Georgia. But he can't beat out Jake Fromm. It is what it is.
Yep.
I'm not sure he was given a fair shot. But he couldn't beat him out. And Jake Fromm proved that I'm a viable quarterback. I got us right to the SEC championship game with a chance to win it. I got us to the national championship game the year before with a chance to win it. I mean, what else can you ask from a quarterback?
Nothing.
Exactly.
That's it. Mike, I didn't even think of Christian Hackenberg. Didn't transfer from Penn State. But after his freshman year, Christian Hackenberg, and he fooled me. Mm-hmm. I was a dope. He was pretty much positioned as a no-doubt franchise quarterback.
No doubt.
I remember after his freshman year saying, man, if my Jets could ever get this guy in a couple of years. Man, 6'5", big arm, strong, fast, sturdy, smart kid. He's terrible.
Yeah, that was Bill O'Brien's offense.
Yeah,
And then Bill left.
Yeah.
And then he got Franklin. James
Numbers
Franklin.
Went down every year.
They were gross.
Literally on the NFL scale, embarrassingly bad.
Yeah.
Drafted, which was a complete reach by the Jets, Maccagnan, second round. Never took a snap with the Jets. Bounced around, practice squad. Now he's in the AAF, and he's trying to reboot his career, and hopefully he does. He obviously has talent. He can throw the ball, but he was a five-star recruit, and I thought he was going to be like Brett Favre when I saw him after his freshman year. And he's nowhere near the relevant radar in terms of being an NFL quarterback right now. You just don't know. I see this with basketball all the time. I mean, doing the Big East stuff. 3-4-star recruit, 5-star. Villanova has a kid, not happy, 5-star recruit, top 20 kid in the country, not getting burned. Mm-hmm. And Villanova lost 4 first-round picks, as we know. They lost their entire team, which is why they've taken a step back. He's not playing much.
Yeah.
He's going to transfer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a little easier to identify a basketball talent than football.
Oh, of course.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
but you just don't know.
Yeah, there's too many moving parts in football to really know.
Schemes,
basketball,
coaching, offensive lines.
Basketball, you can tell.
You can pretty much tell. All right, T, coming up, Dan Wolkin broke the story about Justin Fields. We'll get his thoughts on that and general synopsis of this new trend that has permeated college football. We'll get to it coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Good stuff. Busy Tuesday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We've got the blast coming up, squeeze in some NBA, maybe take an eye on the hot stove, see what's cooking there. But, Tiki, let's follow up the last conversation with the gentleman who broke the story about Justin Fields and the quarterback at Georgia getting ready to find the new home, a new campus. That's Dan Wolken from the USA Today, covers college football, and Dan's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Dan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good. Good scoop, man. Good hustle on your part. The aside from the lack of playing time, was there anything else that served as an impetus here or no?
Well, I think just the modern era of quarterbacks, when you're at an elite program, Georgia's now recruiting at the same level as an Alabama and as a Clemson. And all these programs like to stockpile the five-star athletes. And a lot of times that sort of culture of competition works out really well for them. But quarterback is just a different animal. And these guys know that they have a limited window of opportunity to show who they are as quarterbacks, and they want to go in 3 years and do their thing in college and then go be a first-round draft pick. And so if you've got to sit behind a guy for, you know, two years or maybe even 3 years, people just aren't going to wait around for their turn. And this was Justin Fields' football team, and there's no getting around that. He was the guy who gave Georgia the best chance to win this year, and it doesn't really seem like next year he would do anything to lose his job. And so I think ultimately Fields has got to figure out where he fits best that will give him an opportunity to have a much bigger role right away.
Hey, Dan, one of the things that you mentioned is that he's looking for a hardship exit here. What's the likelihood that that's going to happen, or the NCAA is going to grant it, which allows him to play immediately as a true sophomore next year?
Well, it's hard to say. The NCAA is unpredictable on these things. However, they've been more lenient recently about waivers, and that's always been the thing is you transfer if you want to play right away. Maybe you can get a hardship waiver, but you got to give them a reason. Well, the NCAA changed the rules earlier this year, and they put in this kind of vague clarification. I don't even know what you would call it, an interpretation maybe in their rule book. That says if there's any circumstances beyond the control of the player that impacts their health, safety, or well-being, then they can apply to be eligible right away. And so that's a pretty big wide berth, and the reality is Justin Fields was in the middle of this incident earlier this year in Georgia, where a baseball player who was in the stands at a game referred to him as a racial slur. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people heard it. It went big on social media. It became this huge national story. And, you know, I think that is a kind of defining thing to be part of your experience as a freshman player that wasn't positive. Now, is it the reason he's leaving or thinking about leaving? I don't think that's necessarily the case. But that's also something, if you put in a waiver request, that I'm not sure a lot of people would be eager to fight.
I you know, it's fun. We said the same thing. And they're finding some common sense here, Dan, is starting to infiltrate some of the offices, the NCAA offices in Indiana. I know it's a different sport and a little bit of a different circumstance for sure, but St. John's went through this. Mustafa Heron, who was a star player at Auburn, went for a waiver. And there was a lot of confidence early on in the process from St. John's, the Big East, it would go through because it's beginning to change a lot, which is good for the kids. You need to make it more equitable, and it did work out. He's playing this year without sitting out. But I wonder, if when do kids smarten up and stop going to these schools that stockpile all the five stars and say, you know what, I might take my chances at a mid-level SEC school, but I'm going to play from day one and I'm going to get drafted.
Well, there's no doubt. And a lot of times I think it's up to the people around these players to, you know, to be more realistic and direct about the situations. And especially if you're a quarterback, you have to understand that the roster you're walking into and a lot of the complexities of playing time. Having said that, Justin Fields coming out of high school is regarded as one of the best quarterback prospects ever in high school football. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're talking about a kid who, you go to the Elite 11 and the quarterback gurus who all saw him. I mean, the word they use is transcendent talent. That's the word they use. Now, is he going to live up to that? I don't know. Quarterbacks all the time don't live up to the hype, and they're hard to evaluate, and people develop at different rates. But there's no doubt that given everything he accomplished in high school, he walked into Georgia believing he was going to go win that job, and believing that he was a better football player than Jake Fromm. And it just turned out that, you know, because Fromm played well and Georgia never really lost, and the role that Fields had wasn't really suited for him, when they did try to use him, there was really no chance for him to take that job at all.
Yeah, okay. No, mm-hmm. You're right. It's similar because you look at the Dabo Swinney situation at Clemson, where Kelly Bryant gets kicked to the curb for Trevor Lawrence, and all of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence obviously was the number one quarterback, overall quarterback in Justin Fields' class. Justin Fields was number two. You kind of got to make those hard decisions if you're coaches and want to hang on to the better player. Now, Justin hasn't officially announced this. Is there any chance that he stays?
Oh, I mean, look, there's always a chance that people can change their minds. You know, I'm sure Georgia will try to make the case to him that he should stay. And, you know, that's certainly you can't be discounted as a possibility. What I would say is that there's a process now in the NCAA, there's a process in college football by which you initiate a transfer. And that is, you tell the school that you want to be entered into this database of transfers. This is a brand new thing, just started this year, that allows other schools to see that you are recruitable and that they can contact you, allows them to contact you as a transfer. So Fields had started that process by notifying Georgia he wanted to be in the database. And Georgia then had two business days to put him in the database. And I would assume, probably in a little while here, that'll start to leak and come to fruition. But that's where we are. So he has initiated the process. Now, does that mean he's 100% going to go through with it? Time will tell. But if you go to that point, that's sort of where that's the way the wind is blowing.
Yeah. No, one of the interesting potential destinations, I don't know if you mentioned it or someone else mentioned it, would be Ohio State. But there's a thought that Dwayne Haskins might not go. So that, I mean, it could work. But what are you hearing about Dwayne Haskins?
Well, yeah, obviously, if you are looking at Ohio State as a quarterback, you need to be very you need to be very educated on the situation and what people's plans are. If Haskins came back, obviously, that would take away your opportunity to play next year if you did get a waiver. Oklahoma, I think that's a school every quarterback would probably be interested in at this point, given Lincoln Riley racking up back-to-back Heisman winners. And yet they've also got a kid who's supposed to sign tomorrow, I guess, out of Arizona, who's a five-star, who may think he's coming in next year to start. So all these situations are interesting and delicate. And again, quarterback's just a different position than any other in college sports.
Yeah,
you cut out at the Dan Wolkin is with Dan. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Gotcha, Dan Wolkin from the USA Today. I wanted to ask you one more thing about the database, because it's generally, you know, not thought to be a very ethical thing to pursue players from within the same conference. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously different rules for that. Is that frowned upon equally, or is the database just hit reset and make it a blanket open recruitment?
Well, yeah, so schools can't restrict anymore who can contact you. So once you're in the database, any school, even within your own league, can contact you. However, I think everybody understands that there are conference rules that apply to transfers.
Yep.
And so you would have to then, you'd have to then get around the conference rules with some sort of waiver.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to really go into that process. I would not expect Justin Fields will be a SEC recruit.
No, yeah. I didn't mean Justin. I just meant in general. Parameters. Yeah. Just curious.
Hey, one quick one before we let you go here, Dan. You're starting to hear a lot of people talk about this, even coaches. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, mentioned this. How soon or not soon are we going to see expansion of the college football playoff?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. You know, so my theory on expansion of the playoff has always been that the real momentum to change will happen when the people who are in the room change. And that's not too far off. Mm-hmm. Bob Bowlsby at the Big 12, Jim Delaney at the Big 10, John Swofford at the ACC, these guys all had a huge hand in creating the 14 playoff, and they're all now, you know, kind of around 70 years old. They're not going to be in these jobs all that much longer. I think they will maybe start the conversation, and it will be up to the next generation of administrators to actually do the dirty work that it will take to logistically put in an 18 playoff, because it will take some logistical work and a lot of conversation. So I just think, you know, it's a very slow moving, it's like a cruise ship, you know, kind of going through the water. That's to me sort of what it is.
Yeah. Okay,
sounds
good
about
stuff.
Right.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Dan Wolkin, as we know, those cruise ship waters can get pretty murky and pretty bouncy on occasion. So this is a different era in college athletics. We'll see where this takes us. Good stuff. Very good reporting, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Be good, Dan. Happy holidays.
There you go. Teak, let's get the update from Ack. We've got the blast right after that. See what's cooking. Ackman coming at you right now. Here's Rich.
All right.
Time now for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. We take a look at the one who's getting it done. Damian Lillard, the all-star for the Blazers, pumping in 28 points and 4 rebounds, 4 assists over his past 5, including 39 in a win against the Clippers last night. So Lillard now finds himself at number 5 in the NBA in scoring, and he's going to look to keep his hot shooting going tomorrow as the Blazers take on the Grizz. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. All right, 42 minutes past the hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I know Rod, we'll get to the blast a little bit, get some calls too. We have time for that. Rod's in Pennsylvania. Want to chime in on Dabo, conversation we had before. What's up, Rod? How are you today?
Hey, BT. Teak, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What you got for us on this?
What up, Rod?
Well, I do want to say congrats to BT and his family on the house and everything.
Oh, man. Thanks, man. Thank you very much, Rod. Appreciate it.
Hey, Rod,
that.
As I
Thank
told
you.
Him, you have nothing else. You have nothing better to do, so you buy a house. You have a ton of stuff to do.
and happy holidays, guys. Best show in the country, hands down.
We appreciate that, man.
Thanks, man.
Happy holidays to you as well. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. So, yeah, the Dabo thing earlier. Let's face it, he's definitely ascended to one of the top programs in the country.
No doubt.
He's right up there. He's right up there with Saban. I told Samter, I doubt highly when he goes into five-star living rooms and he's pitching their next couple years that, you know, they have a pathway to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to you know, be speaking out like he is against players, you know, preserving themselves for the draft, I think it's crazy. So and the last thing I wanted to say before you guys cut me off is please consider the idea of doing a Tiki and Tierney golf tournament.
Oh,
I think
we talked about that.
If you guys did an annual golf tournament, it would be a blast.
Let me tell you something, Rod. It's funny you
we
bring that up.
We talked about that a couple
funny
years
you
ago.
Bring, thanks for the call, buddy. I certainly appreciate the kind words. Now that we have the TV vehicle behind us, maybe this is something we could actually do. I wrote, remember this?
I do. It was 2 years ago.
I think it may have been three.
I think it may have been three. It was because we were early.
I presented an entire business model about that concept to our old boss, Eric Spitz, who's not with us anymore. I mean, thank God he's alive.
Yeah,
I mean, we love Spitz.
He went to greener pastures.
Yeah, went to Sirius, whatever. Love Spitzy, but he left. And
that was like, may he rest in peace.
That was coming out weird. I want to make sure people know that Spitz is alive and well. We texted the other day. He's doing all right. And it was a great thing. And we had Myrtle Beach, where I've gone for years. You know that. Yeah. I talk about Myrtle all the time. The Grand Strand, much love for you. Been going for years. And we had a course.
Mm-hmm.
We had some sponsors. It just never quite came to fruition. It is something that it was hastily. I don't want to say hastily because it was actually well thought out.
It was a crunch time.
It was crunch time. We didn't give it enough time to let it breathe.
Right.
The concept was awesome.
Yeah.
And that is something we do need to revisit.
I 100%
it's a great
agree,
point.
Because we both love golf. We suck at it, but we love it.
And we love hanging out with listeners.
I agree.
Love getting on, doing a remote, agreed, different spots in great affiliate
and
cities.
Look, we did
I'm
this,
down.
We saw this in...
I'm in.
Because we went down to Philly for the Army-Navy media day on Friday.
Yep.
And we're sitting down there doing the show. CBS, the network was fantastic. They set everything up. So it was like we were here, but we were obviously there. Look, everything looked great. It was fantastic.
As always, they
and
do
the
a great job.
The fans were awesome.
Yeah.
Right? You know, military men and women and their families. I ran into Pat Shermer's daughter.
I didn't even know
who
that.
Who works for the... You'd taken off.
Gotcha.
And I was chatting with a couple of people there, and then Pat Shermer's daughter came over. She works for the City of Philly, I guess the tourism board. And I remember saying to BT, it was like, this is awesome.
I do remember you saying that, but I didn't know who she was.
Yeah. So it's just amazing when we get out to see people, and we need to do it more often.
We would love to do it more often. Yeah. I mean, we've been, you know, not to put our business out in the air, but this is something that you and I, we've taken initiative with this. We want to do a show, you know, out on a Friday from a major college football venue, have a little fun, go out there, do something from a college basketball venue.
Agreed.
We're game. We're down.
You're
we're
right.
in.
You're right.
Let's do it. I like that.
And then put us on the games.
Exactly. And call them as well.
Play-by-play. Analyst.
That's right. I'm a little rusty with the play-by-play, but I'm sure I can get those
pipes
going.
You figure it out, dude.
Not worried. Cliff is in Wisconsin. Cliff is on Tiki and Tierney. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, how you doing there? I appreciate you taking a call. I don't know where these prima donna quarterbacks are coming from college nowadays, but...
Yeah. Well, they're coming from society. Where do you think they're coming from?
Everybody's prima donna these days, Cliff, right? It's social media. The guys, you know, like 15-year-olds are blasting themselves on social media. I mean, it's like, what's going on with the world?
Including your son, by the way.
Oh, he earned it, though.
No, I know he did. State title will get you little props on Instagram.
By the way, congratulations on the house signing there.
Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome, man.
I don't know if you recall, but back in the early 70s, Terry Bradshaw made a call to Al Davis back when Joe Gilliam was starting for the Steelers.
African-American quarterback, yes. Yep.
Yeah, and he said to Al Davis, you got to get me out of Pittsburgh. And Al said, I got my hands full here. That's when the Mad Bomber was starting for
the Raiders.
Yeah.
For the Raiders.
Yeah.
And Al had his hands full with quarterbacks. He had the Mad Bomber starting. He had another Hall of Famer.
Kenny.
Yep.
No.
Kenny Stabler.
Kenny was third string.
Don't you?
He had George Blanda backing up the Mad Bomber.
Yeah, but George was old at that point.
George was old, but Al called up. Al called up Pittsburgh, and he said, you know what? You can win with Bradshaw. Sit Gilliam.
Yeah.
Gilliam had a problem with the pipe. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know where these college kids are coming up with the fact that they've got all the control.
Yeah.
Let them get into the big league.
But you're, Cliff, here you're missing one thing, and thank you for the call, buddy. Really appreciate it. Cliff, maybe you're not
love
missing
the,
it. Maybe
the
you choose to overlook
love the
it.
History lessons, though.
Yeah, I didn't know that about I honestly didn't realize that Bradshaw reached out to Al Davis. I got to ask Amy Trask about that on Sunday. Not that she was there, but obviously she would know the story. I don't know that Cliff does. He might just be glossing over this point. Like, we have empowered these kids so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's no going back.
I agreed.
So they've got the power. They got the hammer.
You're right.
Now, they don't have the ultimate card, which is getting on the field or not.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches need to determine when that happens. But in terms of being able to create leverage for situations, they got it.
I agree.
They're pros before they're not.
You're right.
It is what it is.
And it's kind of like a stepping stone. It's not sometimes it's the destination, the college, and the success you're going to have there. But in a lot of cases, it feels like it's just a stepping stone.
Yep.
Right? You see it with a lot of players, not just quarterbacks. You see some defensive linemen do this. You saw Jadeveon Clowney basically sit out his entire last year there.
Remember that well.
It was a stepping stone.
Yep.
Now, it worked out well for him, but, I mean.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Let's hit the blast, buddy. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, Rams Marcus Peters walks up the steps, threatens a fan in the stands. Obviously not the way you want to do business. McVay responded Should he be suspended?
I think he should be suspended. I mean, this is rare that you engage fans this aggressively, or you... I mean, he actually walked up the stairs. It wasn't like he was just standing on the field and screaming. He walked up the stairs. This could have led to a serious physical confrontation. So the NFL has got to put a clamp down on this one, even if he's just the example.
The language was horrible.
Horrible.
Listen, yeah, I thought you got to suspend him here. You know, anything that remotely resembles stage one of what went down at the Palace years ago with the Pacers and Pistons, you never know when that could spill into the stands. Yeah, it's got to be... You gotta suspend them.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers wants to finish the season despite a groin injury. Should the Packers shut him down? I mean, listen, I would lean on my training staff here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you could actually get from an MRI on a strained groin. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not going to be an X-ray. It's not bone. It's not skeletal. I guess you got to trust Aaron.
Having had groin injuries, some of them are really severe. Like you ripped the bone off. This isn't the case. This is probably something minor. And more importantly, he wants to build for next year. They know that there's going to be some turnover, personnel, coaching staff, et cetera. But there is one great connection that's developing between him and Davante Adams. He wants to continue to build that. So let him play, unless he physically cannot.
Eric Green tested 7 times in 11 weeks, and obviously he's not thrilled about that. Do we buy the NFL drug testing is random?
No, never.
I don't know that we ever have.
It's never been random. If you showed up in some video with some guy smoking weed, trust me, you're getting a test the next day. It is what it is.
Yeah, but to my knowledge, he's been in no videos. They're just testing him because it looks like they're trying to screw him because of the whole Kaepernick affiliation.
You're probably right.
I mean, that's obviously what we're all deducing from this. I mean, listen, if I'm Eric Green, you know what I do? I hand him the urine sample, and I smile.
At the end of the day,
I say, suckers,
the NFL
I'm clean.
Can do whatever they want. It's been reaffirmed multiple times. Ezekiel Elliott, Deflategate, it's over. And the NFL can do whatever they want.
The NBA's worst team, the Suns, although I don't think they have the worst talent. I know you're with me on that.
I agree with that.
They crushed the Knicks. They just crushed them. That was a bad look for the Knicks. 128, they hung out at the Garden, by the way.
Booker, gross.
That was a bad one. Booker, that's really one of the few times I've been I mean, I know the Knicks are 9-23, but that was a no-show by Fizdale's team. Not cool. Booker calls out Kanter's inability to guard the pick and roll. Is he a defensive liability? The answer is absolutely yes. Listen, Enes Kanter is very good, borderline great at one thing, and that is an old-school, conventional, dump it down in the post, offensive rebound, little drop step. He is a beast in the post, but he doesn't do much else.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guys in the NBA like this. Tristan Thompson, similar as well.
Uh-huh.
Right? They're just not great defenders. In these,
Al Jefferson was like that.
Exactly.
Remember?
When they get pushed away from the basket, they're liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on Fizdale for not pulling them or doing something different.
They're going to trade him. By the way, he would have value on a playoff team coming off the bench scoring some points.
He's got to stay healthy.
Go back to the Thunder.
Yeah.
They loved him there. Thunder, good, man. All right, TK, how about this? Calipari disappointed that Pitino declined an invite back to Kentucky to be recognized with the 1993 team.
I just said, look, you need to get up here. This will be respectful here. And what that program did to change this back, we should recognize it. You may be mad he went to coach at Louisville. So what? When he was here and when we needed this program on a different track, he put it. And that group, and I thanked that group last night, what Rick did, you know, like I said, he deserves to be able to get the respect from what he did here, and I think our fans would be great.
That's terrific by Calipari. That is some really strong sound.
That's interesting. Do you think Kentucky fans would follow him?
I believe that he would be revered that night because what Calipari said, you got to remember, they were on. I mean, they almost had the plug was pulled out of the program. He brought them from the respirator back to the pinnacle. I mean, I believe Kentucky fans would genuflect at Rick Pitino's presence.
You think it's too soon, though, because of the...
That's possible. Because of all the other stuff. Yeah. Not so much about Louisville, but the other stuff.
It didn't just happen, but it kind of just happened.
You know what? But it might be good for Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino made his own bed, but if I'm Rick Pitino, I might need that kind of night. I've had a rough year. Wouldn't mind some adulation.
Some positivity.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And then I go.
Time's up. The blast is over another day.
It's going on too long as always. And then I could shove it down Louisville's throat. Yeah. If I'm Pitino, who's a competitive guy.
That's a good point.
I'm dancing with with Kentucky again. Look at me.
I know you're still in the apartment. Are you stopping by the house tonight?
No, it's Jen's birthday. We're having a birthday cake at the Apollo. Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Jen,
sweetheart.
Tierney.
See you again. Thank you, buddy.
I'm glad I said it.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.